loan officers. Join the Mortgage Calculator as an MLO for unlimited mortgage leads and up to 250 BPS compensation.
So welcome, everyone. My name is Kyle Hershey. I am the COO of the Mortgage Calculator, joined here by our president, Nick Hershey, and our sales manager, Jose Gonzalez. We are a correspondent lender, and what we do every Tuesday and Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern on this show is go through a new loan officer training topic. So tonight, we're going to be talking about how to calculate variable income. So again, we're talking about commissions, bonuses, overtime, all kinds of things like that, because they present a unique, somewhat of a challenge in our loans. And so it's very important to know how to handle this. So Jose, if you're ready, I'll pass it over to Jose, our sales manager with 28 years of experience, to take us through how to calculate variable income.
Good evening, everybody. Thank you for joining us for tonight's training with the Mortgage Calculator. Variable income is a very important, really gained notoriety during, before, you know, during then after the pandemic with the gig economy, right? Everybody working these performance-related jobs, you know, commission, tips, overtime, bonuses, right? That's really coming into play now. Commissions, tips, overtime, and bonuses. There's more to that than variable income. So let me go ahead and share the screen with you. So again, that's the main one. So commission, tips, overtime, and bonus. So remember, gig economy, really important now. So let's get into the different types of variable income. This is not an exclusive list. The first few are a lot more obvious. So commission income, right? That's everybody's number one variable income category, commission. It could be, now when we're talking about commission, it's a little tricky because we're not just talking about somebody who's on 100% commission, right? Like moi over here. But we're talking about people who have a combination of salary or hourly pay plus commission when the commission portion of the pay is at least 25% or more. If the commission portion of their pay is at least 25% or more, it's considered substantial enough of a component of the borrower's income to require additional documentation, because then they treat that part of the income as variable income subject to the different requirements, which we're going to get to in a minute. Then we're talking about tip or tips income, right, in the service industry, right? Our servers, whether they be our serving us our beverages or serving us our food, they still are going to get a portion of their income from tips, and in some cases, it's a substantial, like the majority of their income could be from the tip. Bonus, another popular category, bonus. Now, you know, bonuses, you got to beware. Bonuses, they're issued at a certain time of the year. They're not always issued in January or in December. Could be issued every year in March, for example. So at that point, that could throw off your fiscal calendar year for calculating the income. You may be having to go from March to March. Overtime, another common, very common category of variable income. Overtime is going to be for hourly borrowers that are on an hourly pay plus overtime. You're not going to be salary and have overtime. You could be salary and have bonuses, right? Performance-related bonuses and other related bonuses, but not overtime. Now, some less common forms of variable income, but I put them as variable income because it's something that can change, but it's a little bit of a gray area. We're looking at automobile allowance. We're looking at capital gains income, interest income, and dividends income. It could almost really be considered other income. But again, the reason that I have them here is just to talk about the mindset of verifying income, because it's going to fall into the same mindset of our different income types. So let me break it down a little bit more here as we talk about the challenges of variable income verification, right? Now, just figuring out what is actual variable income is part of the challenge right there. Make sure you're in the right category so that then you can document the income in the right manner. So what are some of the things that we have to be concerned with? Well, our income is trending downwards, right? That's a challenge there, because if you have income that's trending down, you got other things going on. For income that's trending down, you're obviously not going to average the 2022 that's higher with the 2023 that's lower if your income is trending downwards. If your variable income is trending downwards, you're going to use the current year figure, the lower of the 2 years if the current year is the lower amount. So always one of the challenges there is downward trending income. So the key there, again, do not average out that 2 year number, because you're going to have an overstated income. You have to use the lower of the 2 years if the current year is lower. And if it's more than 20% lower, there's going to have to be some good explanation letters, possible documentation from the employer, because you have a potentially sinking ship, right? So they may not even use the variable income if the downward trend is too much. It would have to be a really strong letter from the employer that this is definitely going to continue. We just had to cut it because of such and such reason for them to use it if it's too big of a difference. And the jumps onto the radar at 20% reduction from the prior year or more. There's 20% or greater reduction in the amount from a previous year. That starts all sorts of red flags going. Now, another challenge of the variable income is that the documentation must support a history of receiving the income, plus the amount, frequency, and duration of the income. And then this is where now we have to break it down a little further, right? Documentation to support these, but specifically looking at continuity of the income. Right? Because with variable income, that means it's variable. It can be higher, it can be lower, it can be none at all. So continuity of income comes into play, because then you have to be concerned of two things. A, is there no defined expiration date to the income, or is there a defined expiration date to the income? Right? That's when you're analyzing continuity of income. And to give you some examples, stuff that doesn't have a defined expiration date, and this is where you're going to be able to put it all together. This is the mindset that I'm saying that you'll have to have in order to always analyze these different income scenarios, especially variable income, non-employment income, other income, any of these non-regular scenarios. Right, continuity of income, if we're looking at stuff with no defined expiration date, would be like bonus, overtime, or commission, right? On anything that has no defined expiration date, you are going to need to document 24 months of history. Not 2 years, mind you, I'm saying 24 months. Because people look at a calendar year and another calendar year, and if you start the first one, is it technically 2 years? Yes, but you don't have 24 months. So at that point, because it's a 24-month average. Now, notice there it says 12 to 24 months of receipt of bonus, overtime, commission, capital gains, for example, may be considered of any of these items without a defined expiration date. However, you got to have some strong compensating factors as to why you're going to accept less than the 24-month average. So again, part of that is going to be the documentation from the employer. That's why I like that written verification of employment when it comes from the employer, where they can right, check the box. Is this continuance likely for overtime and bonus? Yes. And then they can also write extra remarks. I think it's box number 20 where they can write all, you know, why it's going to be likely to continue the overtime or the bonus or the commission. So again, 12 to 20, you know, less than 24 months, but greater than 12 or greater may be considered case by case. You got any strong compensating factors. And at that point, hope that the underwriter treats you nicely when they average out the income. Hopefully they're not going to average it out over 24 months. They're going to average it out over the actual time that it has been paid to give you the most accurate depiction of what they actually get every month, including the overtime. So no defined expiration date. That's one way you're going to look at when a variable income, continuity of variable income. And the other is going to be, obviously, defined expiration date. So for the no defined expiration date, again, rule of thumb, 2 years back, a 2 year history. For the defined expiration date, the continuity of income becomes more important, not the historical receipt, but what's the amount you're getting and how long is it going to continue. So it's like you need to look at the 2 years and then you need to look at the 3 years moving forward as well. So if you're doing a 2 year full doc program, you got to verify 2 years of this income. If you're doing a 1 year full doc program, 1 year of this income historical, but then you have to confirm continuance is likely for at least 3 more years. Now, you all, the other day when we had the non-employment income presentation, one of the items that was in this category, for example, was pension income, right? Like an annuity pension, Social Security income. But again, now here we're looking at stuff with a defined expiration date, like notes receivable income, retirement distributions, royalty payments. Those are all things that have a defined expiration date, either contractually or because the asset is depleting. And at a certain point, the asset will be totally depleted. That means the value will be, you know, zero. If it's, you know, zero, there's no more dividends, there's no more interest if you've already consumed the asset. And maybe that's it on the note. You've reached the term of the note. It's year 15. That's it. The note is paid off. You're not going to get any more notes receivable income, right? So again, minimum 3 more years continuance is required due to a depleting asset or due to an expiring contract. And then down there, you can't see the last bullet point. Sorry about that, but in the last challenge on variable income is simply the borrower just cannot provide the documentation needed in any form to satisfy the condition to document the variable income. So I've already touched on some of the solutions, which I'm going to show, but keep in mind the most important thing on this page and any variable income would be continuity of income. And then is it a does it have a defined expiration date or does it have an undefined expiration date, which is going to require, if it's not a defined expiration date, historical 2 years, rule of thumb. And if it's defined expiration date, it's, the historical is going to depend on your income type, 1 year or 2 year, whatever, if it's AUS 1 year, AUS 2 year, non-QM 1 year, non-QM 2 year. And then on top of that, because you have a defined expiration date, you have to verify at least 3 years continuance. So we already touched on a lot of the solutions, but I'm just going to break it down a little bit more here. So in terms of the receipt of the variable income, now you're looking at no defined expiration date. The easiest thing there is going to be, and if we're looking at, for example, commission income, tips income, bonus income, overtime income, definitely the easiest solution is always going to be, now this depends on the income program. If you got 1 year AUS, maybe it'll tell you only 1 year. If it's 2 year, 2 year, but a 2 year written verification of employment is always going to be the easiest solution to any of the issues with income. Because at that point, it's broken down clearly. There's no, you know, mystery to it, what it is. Is that actually part of their base income, or is that some other variable income type? When they break it down into VOE, they're going to break it down into base income. So now the doubts you had about all the different things, now they're base income, and then you're going to have your commission income, your overtime income, your bonus, and any other variable type income that could be in there. But it's going to be on the written VOE. It's easiest. Then obviously pay stubs and W-2s or pay stubs and tax returns, depending on what you're trying to document. Now, you're going to need tax returns and not just W-2s if, for example, the income that you're trying to document isn't broken down on the W-2. So like for tips will break down W-2s in some cases, and in other cases, they won't. So if the tip doesn't break down the W-2, and if you can't get a written VOE to break it down, which you probably won't break it down, you need the tax return to see what the borrower then claimed as tips, because you got the W-2 income, and then you got the tips income that's going to be on the tax return, 1040. So again, pay stubs from W-2s or pay stubs plus tax returns, if the information you need documented isn't broken down in the pay stubs and the W-2s, but only broken down on the tax returns. Now, receipt of variable income can also be documented by legal type documents. So if you're trying to verify notes receivable income, then there has to be a note somewhere, right? A promissory note, some type of note. That note has the inception date of the note. It has the terms. This is how much you get in payment. This was the amount of the note. This is the interest rate. This is how many payments, and this is the expiration date, you know, all that kind of stuff. Royalty income, there should be some kind of a contract. Royalty income is, you know, usually either you sold the business, you're getting royalties from the business, or there has to be an agreement in place, you know, when the business was sold, whatever is in place that can document that monthly income that you are receiving. Restricted stock income, which when it's a one-time event, then again, there should be some type of a compensation agreement, employment contract, some document that can state, if we go back to the beginning here, that can state the amount, frequency, and duration of the income. As it says here, amount, frequency, and duration of the income. That is what we need that document here to state for the variable income, for the documenting just the receipt of the income. And I jumped the slide there, but here now, and we're talking about the continuity of the income. That's because if we're worried about continuity of the income, we're also worried that we have a document with a situation where the income could have a defined expiration date. That's why we are concerned about the continuity of the income. So again, legal documents can help us out. Because remember now, I talked about the mindset. So now we're going back again. We're talking about the mindset here. What are we worried about? We're worried about, since we have a defined expiration date, we have an asset that's depleting, we have to make sure then that the asset is going to be available to provide the income for, in this case, at least 3 more years. So again, go to the document and look for the information that you need to document the frequency, the receipt, and the amount of the income. That document should have an expiration date on it. All that kind of good stuff is going to be in the source document. Again, if we're looking at stuff more like distributions from an IRA or a SEP plan or a KEO or 401k, there has to be a plan provider that you can have documents to show how much is left of the asset. And is that going to deplete in 3 years or less? And the same with the notes receivable income. There has to be a note for that note receivable income that will say when is the last payment going to be received on that note? The same for the royalty income. There's going to be the contract and the restricted stock income. There's going to be an agreement. So this all goes back to very basic stuff, right? Agreements, documents, averages, 1 year or 2 years. So it's all the same mindset. So you can apply it to all these things. And again, I would always tell everybody to go to the Fannie Mae selling guide. They really break it down in terms of general income, variable income, commission income, tip income, and they break it down for every category. You click on the link, it opens it up, and they tell you what are the acceptable items, what are the shortcomings for that income type, and what are the acceptable items to clear those shortcomings, which will present solutions. So hope you all remember the main points that we're talking about here regarding no defined expiration date on the document. I mean, on the income versus defined expiration. Remember, overtime bonuses, commissions are no defined expiration date versus capital gains commission, for example, which has a defined expiration date. So remember that in today's very important climate where variable income is becoming more and more a part of the income, borrowers are really looking to get paid more of what they're worth. And definitely commission income is one way to increase your income. You know, you got a little bit more risk, but definitely a lot more reward.
All right, great. Thank you, Jose. So I do not see any questions in there. I got a question for you, Jose. Is what you were describing only applicable to conventional loans or agency loans, or is this also some stuff that's going to be applied to non-QM generally? Oh,
across the board, most of the underwriters out there, you see, they don't want to always have to reinvent the wheel. So whereas they'll have guidelines for like income types, you know, DSCR, bank statement, all that. But then when they're reviewing certain types of income, they basically go to the Fannie Mae selling guides and copy a lot of that basic stuff. And they'll tell you when you're reading those non-QM guidelines, they'll have references to like per Fannie Mae guidelines for certain components. So you'll know. But yeah, for a lot of the full doc stuff, yeah, it's going to be very similar to what they're going to require in a non-QM world, compared to what the Fannie Mae selling guide is telling you is needed. It's right there. The roadmap is there. There may be a little slight deviation in some examples, but the majority of the time, it's going to mirror the Fannie Mae selling guide regarding what is acceptable for the defined expiration date items versus the non-defined expiration date items.
Okay.
And I mean, if if you let me share my screen again a second, I will just show everybody a minute what I'm talking about in the Fannie Mae selling guide, because I have it pulled up here. Okay, cool. So let me make it a little bigger. All right, there we go. So, yeah, basically, I just wanted the selling guide. You know, they have here, look at that, variable income, continuity of income, stable and predictable income. So you start looking through this and clicking that stuff. It's even telling you, you know, history of receipt, frequency of payment, if this happens, if that happens, and then income trending, and then they go to continuity of income, and then they break it down here. Types without a defined expiration date, types with a defined expiration date, and then they break it down and tell you, you know, at that point you see what they are, and then you see what is the item that is needed to solve that.
All right, well, I don't see any questions, so we'll go ahead and wrap it up. We appreciate everybody tuning in. Remember, we do this every Tuesday and Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. Eastern, where we go through a new loan officer training topic. So we have a new topic for tomorrow. Appreciate everybody tuning in. Thank you for the great presentation, Jose. We'll see everybody tomorrow, 7 p.m. Eastern, for the next episode of the Loan Officer Training Series with the Mortgage Calculator. Have a great night, everyone.
Thank you, everybody. Have a great night.
loan officers. Join the Mortgage Calculator as an MLO for unlimited mortgage leads and up to 250 BPS compensation.